Talk about the Greens, that bunch of idiots.
Hey there, Climactic Collective listeners.
I'm Emerald Moon.
And I'm Tom Bella.
And together we host Serious Danger,
a podcast about Australia's broken political system and its greatest threat,
the Australian Greens.
It's a show about green politics in Australia.
The kind of politics that puts people and the planet before profit.
We talk to cool and interesting people about fighting for good shit, like taxing billionaires,
housing for all,
workers' rights,
First Nations justice,
and drugs. Sweet, sweet, sweet drugs.
Join us on Serious Danger every Sunday. You can subscribe to us anywhere you get podcasts.
You can find us on Patreon. We're at Serious Danger AU on the socials, or just head to seriousdangerpod.com.
That's Serious Danger with me, Emerald Moon.
And me, Tom Ballard. Do you think we need something at the end there? Go Greens.
Welcome to the Sustainable You podcast with your hosts, Jackie Kidman and Lisa Whiston, self-proclaimed urban hippies, waste warriors, and passionate women. Tune in for practical information and inspiration on how to reduce your impact on the environment and become a more sustainable you.
Hi guys, welcome to a bonus episode of Sustainable You podcast. I am your host, Lisa Whiston, and I am flying solo today. We decided to record this bonus episode for you because with an election in Australia looming now more than ever, the issue of climate change and the environment is a hot topic. It's in all the media outlets. It's on the social networks. We're seeing schools striking for climate. We're seeing amazing stories of people that are standing up for what they believe in. We've got the UK declaring a climate emergency. We've got countries that are finally taking action. And all of a sudden, people are starting to talk climate more than they ever have before. Certainly, the political parties in Australia, in all of their election spin, are using it to sell themselves to the nation, some parties more than others. Some parties certainly place more value on environmental policy than others also. But what does this all mean? Will anything change? Do we do anything different? How does this affect us as individuals, as communities, as a nation, or if you really want to think big, as global citizens? Unfortunately, I don't have all the answers. I wish I did. Sometimes it actually keeps me up at night, just contemplating the different paths that our governments could take and what changes, good or bad, I will see in my lifetime and what my kids will have to grow up dealing with. I thought that this would be a really good opportunity to share with you guys a little bit about the awesome not-for-profit that I've been volunteering with over the last 12 months or so. Their name is Climate for Change. So Climate for Change started in 2015. Their mission is to create the social climate in Australia for effective action on climate change. So what that essentially means is that they recognise that the huge changes Australia needs to make to address climate change will never happen unless the majority of Australian people are both on board with the changes and are committed to making them. So their goal is to build that commitment among Australian people. What they have done is developed an amazing conversation program whereby normal everyday people will host a conversation about climate change in their own home with their own network of friends and family, aided by a trained volunteer facilitator, which is what I do. We come out and we go through a guided conversation. It's an open discussion. It can go down many rabbit holes. We show you a short video to get you up to speed with the science, and then we talk about what we can do as individuals, as consumers, as part of the community, and as citizens. I thought I might share with you a little bit from a recent conversation that I facilitated for in Melbourne, in Clifton Hill. So here's a little bit now, and I'll come back to you afterwards. Okay, well, all right, so we're called Climate for Change. Polls indicate that the majority of Australians do agree that climate change is real, that it's serious and it's urgent and that we need to be doing more to stop it, even if it does cost money. But when it comes to the details, most Australians are confused. So they don't know how serious or how urgent it is, what action's needed, and by when and by whom. So because of this confusion, we tend to procrastinate, and you kind of like, as you say, you put it at the back of your head, and we focus on other issues. But in the meantime, the years tick by and climate change becomes more and more dangerous.
Within 40 years, scientists had proven Fourier's theory and had identified the gases, the main ones being carbon dioxide, methane, and water vapour. If we didn't have greenhouse gases in our atmosphere, then our planet would be more like Mars, where temperatures plummet to less than 100 degrees below zero. Too much of these gases, however, would make our planet unbearably hot, like Venus, which has 300 times more carbon dioxide than Earth, and where the average temperature is over 400 degrees Celsius. Burning fossil fuels like coal, oil, and gas for energy, cutting down trees, producing waste, and over-intensive farming all increase the greenhouse gases in our atmosphere. But what really keeps climate scientists awake at night are feedback loops. Scientists fear we could push global warming to a tipping point, a point where even if we stopped producing any greenhouse gases, these feedback loops could reinforce one another, leading to runaway global warming. Warming that we are powerless to stop. Leading scientists have predicted that if we exceed even 1.5 degrees, there's a high risk the permafrost will hit its tipping point and that we may lose 90% of all coral reefs in the world.
And the solution stuff is there and it's in there, but this frustration of, well, why haven't we done this? You know, we've known about this for decades. The solutions have been there. We get this kind of galvanised, yay, we're all onto it. And then we're still having these conversations 15 years later.
Mm-hmm. The good thing about that, though, and that's what we sort of got onto at the end, is that there are more people having these conversations. Mm-hmm. So we've got to look at the positives. There are a lot of positive things happening, and the fact that, yeah, we're having this conversation, but you do generally hear more people talk about it, you know, and more people are doing something about it. So although we can, and we are, and we will continue to talk about how bad things are, there are a lot of things in place compared to 15 years ago. So it might not be moving as quickly as it should be, but things like this and the fact that, yeah, we're out here talking about it, and there are definitely a lot more people talking about it.
Yeah.
Just got to action.
Why aren't we, you know? Mm. And what are these vested interests of government and big business that prevent us from ditching dirty energy?
So it's, I guess that's where it sort of comes to, is getting the parties that have got the more practical policies, getting them to have a climate, to address climate change, because... I mean, like, one of the parties is something about dogs and animals, and that's pretty much all of their priorities and everything they've got to do. So, yeah. And the Greens, they definitely have got climate change on the agenda, but some of their other policies are probably not all that great. So it is, like, it's such a balancing act, and it's really hard to choose. And that's, like today I was, like, learning some of the stuff around, you know, the impact of climate change on social justice issues. Probably changes my priority, because if climate change can have such an impact on social justice, then maybe
that's the priority.
That's what I think. It might not be immediate, but it's more of a long-term thing that it will improve social justice. I mean, our homelessness issue in Melbourne is atrocious, and it's just getting worse. And we're doing nothing about it, but it's just going to get worse if the climate change, if we don't do anything about climate change, and we've got refugees coming in from the Pacific Islands.
And the same sorry to hijack you as well, but the same is with health. So I work in health, and the future is about climate change and policies around how that's going to affect health.
That's the thing with climate change, is that it kind of underlies every other issue that there is.
All the environment groups are linking up environment and health, because it's like, it's a no-brainer. They're all connected. And it's holistic.
It takes a while to work out all the impacts, but it's very good.
appealing to humanity, everyone's underlying sense of
we're not that different.
What's right, really, you know.
So, to summarise everything that we've covered so far, we know that climate change is happening now with devastating effects. We know that warming of more than 1.5 degrees will be catastrophic. We know that we're on track to hit 1.5 degrees within the next 11 years. And to stay below 1.5 degrees, we need action from all levels of society, as we've discussed. But without government-level action, this will be incredibly hard, if not impossible. Government will act when they see that climate change is a deciding factor in how people vote. With a federal election coming up, we have a lot of power to create change now. Within this year, we can vote climate, we can take citizen action, and we can talk to others. This is what a climate for change looks like, the social climate in which our government must act. And this is how we get there. So, essentially, Climate for Change believes that it's through exercising our democratic rights as citizens that we'll have the most impact in the fastest time frame to be able to address this threat to our lives, our way of life. The thing I love about the position that I've somehow managed to find myself in is that through my work with Climate for Change, I get to talk about all the big picture stuff with people. You know, it's the, all the government level action. It's pressuring those who have power to act. It's kind of a little bit like citizen activism. But through this podcast, Sustainable You, I get to not only increase the amount of people that are considering sustainability in their everyday lives, but I'm directly talking to you guys about all the tangible stuff that we can do and that we are doing on a daily basis to lessen our impact on our world today. We can do stuff now. And so there's a benefit to sort of saying, I can do this and I will do it for myself, even though I know that this little part of what I'm doing might not change the entire world, but I can do this now and I can share it with my network, my friends and family, and it's going to make me feel good about my impact on the world around me. And honestly, Jackie and I have been blown away by the amazing feedback that we've received from everyone. We're getting messages from people that we don't know, which is cool because we thought it would just be our moms listening. And so we absolutely have been loving it. We want you to all get on board and thank you so much for listening to us. To recap, I urge you guys to have more conversations about climate change with your friends, with your families, with your colleagues at work, with, you know, mums at school, anywhere that you find it an opportunity to talk about climate change, I encourage you to do so. And also to exercise your power as a citizen. Do your research, contact your MP as your government representative and vote with climate in mind. If it's not us taking action, guys, then who will it be? And if it's not now, then when? Thank you so much for listening to me. Jackie and I will be back on Sunday with another episode of Sustainable You podcast to help you guys become a more sustainable you.
Sustainable You can be found on Instagram at Sustainable You Pod, on Facebook at Sustainable You Podcast, or you can email us at sustainablepod@gmail.com. Episodes are created and produced by Lisa and Jackie.
Hey there, Climactic Collective listeners.
I'm Emerald Moon.
And I'm Tom Bella.
And together we host Serious Danger,
a podcast about Australia's broken political system and its greatest threat,
the Australian Greens.
It's a show about green politics in Australia.
The kind of politics that puts people and the planet before profit.
We talk to cool and interesting people about fighting for good shit, like taxing billionaires.
Housing for all.
Workers' rights.
First Nations justice.
And drugs. Sweet, sweet, sweet drugs.
Join us on Serious Danger every Sunday. You can subscribe to us anywhere you get podcasts.
You can find us on Patreon. We're at Serious Danger AU on the socials, or just head to SeriousDangerPod.com.
That's Serious Danger with me, Emerald Moon.
And me, Tom Ballard. Do you think we need something at the end there? Go Greens.